It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Hello. Or not. Good morning. No. KHDK's resident Clark Griswold, I can confirm, has made it to the, I can't call it beautiful city of Anaheim. That would be a gosh darn filthy lie. But it is a city. It's in Orange County, Southern California. It's where Disneyland is. Matt's been there once or twice.
I love Disneyland, but I don't consider Disneyland Southern California.
What do you consider it?
It's its own place. Disneyland is not part of Southern California.
Interesting take. I'm going to go ahead and politely disagree.
As soon as you step off,
for geographical reasons.
As soon as you step off the Disney campus, you are in disgusting Southern California, LA, Orange County area. But on Disney campus,
you put my program too in.
You're in a whole new world.
The tubers can't hear me on my mic.
That's good.
There we go.
That's what we're going for.
Now they can hear me. Hey, hi, hello. Don't worry, guys. It'll come on. I see everybody in the chat. Yes, you're on like a 30-second delay. You're going to hear my beautiful voice here in just a second, I promise.
Who cares?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. From a radio standpoint, our voice
No,
is...
your voice is over the airwaves on the radio. Who
That's
cares
true.
About the tubers?
Damn tubers. No, I love the tubers. They're literally like, it's my favorite part of this show is that chat. It keeps me entertained on levels that just people don't understand if you're not in there on a regular basis.
I think
basis.
I've closed it already. It's already closed.
The chat?
Yeah, it's already closed.
Why? Why would you do that?
The stream is open. The chat is closed.
1-800-920-1140 is your phone number. Give us a call. We might get to that today. 916-339-1140 if you want to text in. And, of course, yes, YouTube. Sports 1140 KHDK on YouTube. Search us out. You can see myself. You can see Matt George. You can see the YouTube chat. But again, you will not see a Carmichael Dave today who is in Disneyland. I was talking to Jay Johnson, who produces Doug and Jason's show yesterday. Apparently, it's like just a three-hour wait to get into the park because they're still doing, you know, checking for fevers and all that fun stuff. Why would anybody in their right mind want to go to Disneyland right now?
I still have tickets on my Disneyland app from the vacation that my wife and I were supposed to take last year. And we have only a certain amount of time to use them. Plus, my wife is 7 months pregnant right now.
With a baby, yes. Yeah, nice.
So there's extra incentive to not go because you can't do anything in Disneyland fun, I should say.
But I know you're a Disney fiend. So, like, when you first heard everything was reopening, did you at least look at tickets or you
nope.
just already knew?
Nope. Not like, I love Disneyland. I can't wait to go back. Just being there is so much fun for my family and I. That being said, nah. I'm not going there, going through all that trouble, paying that much to get a not full Disney experience. Like, I care. I would rather have a packed crowd in there with long queue times, but I could go on a fast pass like normal than
yeah,
to be in a
they
half.
Don't have fast passes right now, right?
No. I mean, but the park is also half capacity, which is good for wait times, but it's not the same thing.
Well, not necessarily, because think about it, because they still have social distancing rules, so you can't fill every ride mm-hmm. to capacity, so it really is like going at capacity.
I don't know if the rules are still the same. I had a couple family friends who went on their honeymoon to Disney World Orlando, and they had to wear their masks on every ride. They weren't allowed to, like, scream. It's like, I'm not going for a not full experience.
Yeah, it's so. Not really like, by the way, how do you enforce the non-scream thing? Like, if you're at top at Splash Mountain and you're about to scream, like, do they just stop the log? Excuse me, sir.
It's funny you say that because according to our friend, she and her husband, like, they came over the speaker of Matterhorn at one point.
Really?
And while they were going and yelled at them. Like, you're moving 40 miles per hour and getting someone yelling at you for screaming. That's pretty awesome.
But again, how do you? I wonder if like they're taking note. Like, I'm sure Disney has some sort of sophisticated security type thing. Like, and they notice, like, all right, that person has screamed like three times. We got to get them out.
Get them out. We have a triple screamer.
Hey, triple screamer, get them out.
Kick their ass out of here,
dude. That would be a story. Yeah, I got kicked out of Disneyland. Why? I screamed on the Matterhorn.
Right? 2021.
Well, and again, if you just tuned in, you're wondering why are two grown men having Disneyland conversation at 6:05 in the morning?
Why not?
That is where the show host is this morning. At some point, I'm sure he'll check in on the chat or the text line or all the above. He'll probably call in, too. Mm-hmm. You know, he has to hit every single medium possible. I do want to know because he's been dreading this experience, which is funny because he bought – he bought three-day park hopper tickets. 3 days.
Yeah, that's the best bang for your buck if you're going to go.
You know, but you know old Eeyore ain't going to last a day there, right?
Oh, absolutely not. But and that's – I get he's going for his family, and I have my therapist is actually on a plane right now going to Disney World Orlando, and he doesn't want to go. I don't understand the trend of – I get it's expensive and I get it's crowded and it's hot right now, but I don't – the majority of people when I hear, hey, I'm going to Disneyland, typically the dad slash man in the relationship is like dreading it. I don't understand it. I do not understand it.
I like Disneyland. I like Disneyland once every few years.
Okay.
And I really look forward to it once every few years, but like those people – and you know those people that
Careful.
Are like – No, you're not one of those
No,
people.
my best friend is, though.
Is your best friend like one of those guys that goes monthly?
So, yes. He,
really?
He used
How old
to,
is he?
He's in his late 20s. He has a three-year-old son, though, or almost three-year-old son. But at the same time, too, so he went to college.
Wait, let me get this straight. He's in his late 20s.
Yes.
He's not a virgin, and he's still doing this.
He is not a virgin, no. His wife loves Disneyland more than he does. But his family used to always go to Disneyland vacations, and he is... So he went to Biola University in Southern California. So he got their season pass, which they don't have right now. And so they continued their season pass for a couple of years, and his family, who they're all teachers, like he's a teacher, they're all teachers. So they would go during every teacher vacation, during summertime, like they always were Disneyland. He's to the point where he could hear music like, and know which part of the park it plays in, like
that's,
based off of a Spotify
that's
playlist.
Creepy.
No. I mean, it's just dedicated. I think it's weird.
Just
it's just dedicated.
That's going to be my new thing. If you're calling anyone creepy, they're not creepy, Matt. They're just dedicated.
Creepy ain't a crime.
Well, Matt, in certain parts of the country, depending on how creepy you are, it sure the heck is.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. All right. 1-800-920-1140 is the phone lines.
This clock is already throwing me off.
Yeah. So we also have clock issues, like the clocks in the studio that we normally use to keep ourselves on time. I know it's 6:08 right now because I can see it on my iPad. The clock in the studio says 5:44, so...
We started the show 20 minutes early.
If people are trained in a certain way, they know when commercials are, when they get in their car. It seems weird today, it's just we screwed up and we didn't look at the right clock.
Yep.
It's just one of those things on a Friday you never want to come in. And it's a company-wide thing because Pat from Pat and Tom came in and was like, hey, is your guy's clock screwed up? I'm like, yep. So, screwy clocks... The host is on vacation that he doesn't want to be at. Mm-hmm. You got us in here. It's so. And by the way, thank God, a lot going on in the sports world. Let me give you a quick rundown of what we're doing today. We had a fun little announcement with the Kings and KHDK. We're going to get to that in leading off. Rick Carlisle resigned in Dallas yesterday. Matt, I know you have a lot of thoughts on that, especially
so
when it comes
thoughts.
To Luka Doncic.
So many thoughts.
We got our first game 7 in the conference semis. Look at those Bucks. There they are. They can beat a team that has KD and James Harden on one leg.
Fear the deer.
Fear them. I don't think anyone's fearing the deer. Again, we'll talk about that. Again, so lots going on in the NBA. If you didn't catch Doug and Jason yesterday, they had Sammy Long, Del Campo High School, Sacramento State, now San Francisco Giant Sammy Long. We're going to replay that interview today, 8:05. That was some really good stuff. And it was – I always find it funny when you're – interviewing local professional players, they all know Doug, and they all grew up like watching Doug as a Sacramento King, and it's kind of cool. And you'll see Sammy kind of at the end of the interview get kind of like a kid again, knowing he's like, Doug, I grew up watching you. And now it's just weird. I shouldn't say weird, but now Doug, the former pro athlete, now interviewing current pro athletes. It's always I always enjoy those interactions between Doug and whoever the guys are interviewing. And again, we'll play that today at 8:05. Speaking of the Giants, not so much the Giants, but yesterday there was a Giant record set.
Nice.
You like that?
Good one.
Good, right? Dude, the Diamondbacks suck. That's my hot take for the day. The Arizona Diamondbacks are horrible.
Hey, be nice. They suck when they're not in Arizona, and they're just really bad in Arizona.
Right. Good point. That Madison Bumgarner sighting didn't turn out very well for them.
Mad Bum's looking to intentionally hurt himself in some ATV accident.
Mad Bum, yeah, right. The guy that can literally pitch through anything all of a sudden is getting hurt in Arizona. That can't be a coincidence. Also today, we got three per of tickets to check out.
Three per madness.
Very good. Kiss.
Ding.
You a Kiss fan? Gene
no.
Simmons, not your thing?
No.
Really?
I mean, they're cool. They're nostalgic. Nah, it's before my time.
Dude, it's before my time.
Nah.
But there they are, still out there. So if we got any Kiss fans out there,
like good, emo clowns.
Good news for you. We got three per of Kiss tickets today. We'll take a break.
Uh-huh.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, time to lead things off. The Kings and KHDK, it's a happy marriage. Bucks push the Nets to a game 7. The Giants sweep the Diamondbacks, but that's not the real story. Diamondbacks set a big, big record yesterday. We'll talk about it next.
It's time for Leading Off, brought to you by Lasher's Elk Grove Dodge, where for over 60 years, their name means a great deal in the Elk Grove Auto Mall and online at elkgrovedodge.com. Here's cut number one. Since 1994, there's been one place that has captured those moments. You know those moments.
Demi with a desperation deep three. He's got it off glass! A miracle at Sacramento's Arco Arena and pandemonium results!
Sports 1140 KHDK is proud to announce our partnership with the Sacramento Kings will continue for years to come, so we can all enjoy even more of those moments.
54 career high points for DeMarcus Cousins.
We'll get more Halliburton.
The hockey assist goes to Halliburton with one of the sweetest passes we've seen this season.
More Fox.
Backdoor chase down blocked by Fox.
More G-Man.
Oh, what a sweet dunk. On their feet again. How many standing O's in one night?
Sports 1140 KHCK is still your proud home of the Sacramento Kings.
Going to the rack. Barnes misses the jam. Tipped in at the buzzer by Buddy Hield.
That's what this is all about.
That's what it's all about.
You'll get more 33-win seasons.
Wow.
You'll get more disappointment. Wow. You'll get more,
You know what's funny?
Busted draft picks.
You know what's funny? I was just going to announce that the marriage continues.
More head coaches.
And the way you're describing it sounds like how actual marriage works.
More garbage.
That's just
welcome to KHDK, your home of the Sacramento Kings. No, I'm being a brat. It's awesome. It's
the Kings.
Really, really cool.
And KHDK announced yesterday a brand new partnership that will extend, I believe, 5 years, multi-year deal.
Woo-hoo.
Couldn't be happier to continue broadcasting Kings games. KHDK, the home of the Kings since 1994, before, if I'm not mistaken, you were born?
The year I was born.
The year you were born, 94.
I'm just saying, it's my fault. On top of that, it's not a coincidence that the contract of, if it is a five-year deal, the contract of this deal and De'Aaron Fox's contract are on the same line.
Solid.
Meaning
solid.
That KHDK is on the same level as De'Aaron Fox's Supermax in terms of timelines. I just want to point that out. So, like, contract number 1A in Sacramento is De'Aaron Fox's. Contract 1B is KHDK's agreement with the Sacramento Kings.
I agree. That's a beautiful way to look at it. Again, the Kings and KHDK, the marriage continues.
Woo-hoo.
Right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Yes, I'm Dad.
Will we get playoffs?
Yes.
Before?
Yes.
Okay.
100%.
All right.
Maybe even a championship.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Cut number two.
Leading off. Cut number two.
They're going to run out the time. The final here in game 6. Bucks 104. Brooklyn Nets 89. We'll be back for Game 7 from the Borough on Saturday.
Barclays Center is going to be popping. Game 7, first Game 7 of the semifinals. Bucks and the Nets. Giannis versus KD. Middleton versus Harden. Drew versus Joe.
Keep going.
Help me out here.
Keep going. You're doing great. Blake versus
Brooks.
Uh-huh.
Brooke, I should say. Jeff versus Dante.
Nash versus
Bud.
Nash Bud.
Nash Bud sounds like a poorly written 90s like cop show.
Oh,
Nash.
I was
up tomorrow on Nash Bud.
I was going to say a really funny NASCAR typo.
Yeah, that's true. Bucks beat the Nets behind big games from Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton. I didn't really think there was any doubt that the Bucks were going to go in and lose last night, but they won by 15. But it felt like they let the Nets stay around way too long.
See, I think it was a positive performance for Giannis based off of what happened the night before. I think the Milwaukee Bucks did well to handle business and not allow the Nets to... Maybe they hung around too long, but they didn't allow the Nets to really look like they had much of a chance to me for the majority of this game, which I think is important. And we all knew, maybe it's happened a lot differently than what we expected, but if you went back to when we found out this series was happening, we all knew it was going seven. There was no way this thing wasn't going seven. So, and many called this initially basically the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right.
Based off of how the Hawks are playing and whatever happens with the Philadelphia 76ers, I hope to God next series is better than this one.
Yeah, speaking of the Hawks and Sixers, they have a Game 6 tonight in Atlanta. Can the Hawks close out the Sixers? We'll talk about that coming up here pretty soon. Was that a Falcon or a Hawk?
I don't know.
I don't know the different bird sounds. Vertically speaking, I'm not exactly, you know, there.
Technically, it was Hassan Whiteside's Harrison Barnes summon.
So it's a Falcon summon then.
I don't know.
Falcon, Hawk, more potato, potato.
Potentially crow.
And then we have another Game 6 tonight. Can the Clippers close out the Jazz? So again, we're going to be breaking down the NBA playoffs here for the most part of the day. Looking forward to talking about that. Cut number three.
Leading off, cut number three.
Here's the pitch. Peralta on the ground to the hole. It's short. Over to backhanded Dubon. He kind of stumbles and then shows off his strong arm. He fires to first in time to get Peralta. And the game is over. The Diamondbacks have set an all-time record. They've lost 23 consecutive road games. Never before in the history of Major League Baseball has that happened for any team. But give the Giants credit because they just whipped up on this struggling Diamondbacks team. They sweep a four-game series, and today was a rollover. 10-3, the Giants steamroll the Diamondbacks.
Wow.
Oh, you know the Diamondbacks went into that game going, damn it, we're going for it.
Yeah.
We want it. We want the record.
Listen, when you go and then get rolled 10-3, granted, you're facing Kevin Gausman, who I would say, other than Jacob DeGrom, is probably your... If DeGrom has to miss any more significant time, I think Gausman right now is the current leader for the Cy Young in the NL. But you got rolled 10-3. 23 straight road losses, as you heard, an MLB record. The Giants also, though... Hey, can we... It's the middle of June. Can we just say the Giants are good?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
They're a good baseball
team. It's okay to say that, right?
There's a caveat.
Okay.
They're a good baseball team, but this is more of a lightning strike than their first World Series year because they're getting the best of both worlds right now, which I don't know will happen next season or ever again for this organization with this group. Their veteran players who are really good during those World Series years are good again while their young prospects are playing well. Like, everything is clicking for the Giants, and it's been able to consistently click, which tells me this is a good baseball team. I don't know if they continued this and made it all the way into the playoffs, World Series, whatever. I don't think this is happening next year if they kept the same team together. I really don't.
You think guys like Crawford, this is an anomaly year.
Yeah, I think this is the last gasp for a lot of guys.
You don't think Buster can hold this up for more than one season at his age? And I can understand.
I don't think so. I think like everybody is stepping up and clicking and everybody's believing at the right time, and all power to them. I'm not taking anything away from them. And this is not an Oakland A's fan hating on the Giants. I think the Giants are tremendously fun to watch. They're the darling of the season so far. I highly, highly doubt that this team will be able to do it more than this year.
I hate the Giants, obviously, as a Dodgers fan, but I agree with you. To me, the Giants are one of the funnest teams to watch in baseball. They're just a fun product. It has a fan base that has been recharged. And I think we're at a point, because of their record, where we're at in the season, it's time to start looking at the trade deadline. Trade deadline's, I think, 6 weeks away, maybe 6.5 weeks away. And that's not just the Giants. The A's need to start looking at the trade deadline, too. The A's were idle yesterday. They start a three-game series with the Yankees tonight, which should be, you know, tons of fun. And by tonight, I think that kicks off. Our coverage kicks off today at 3, so no Jason and Doug A's Yankees on instead. But if you're Farhan, if you're Billy Bean, it's time to make moves because, to your point, the Giants need to go for it right now.
See, I would be scared if I were the Giants
A's
to make a move.
A's need to go for it right now. The Giants, they have bullpen issues they need to address.
And absolutely.
They could definitely use another bat.
But if they go for a massive splash-type move and risk doing, to a lesser extent, what the A's did to their best team in baseball when they traded Yoenis Cespedes. Again, I get why they made the move years ago, but it completely changed the dynamic of that team and halted their momentum. I'd be worried with the San Francisco Giants if you try and make a move like that to make a win now move and you disrupt the good that should not be happening that's happening right now. Like, I'm not saying operate scared in the front office, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it type
thing. Oh, I agree with you because it's not broke. It's not broke at all, but there's always that little, you know, having some insurance never hurts. And by the way, I'm not talking about trading anybody on the active roster. You need to start looking down at the minor leagues and seeing, like, all right, what is some of the real value going to be for some of our good young prospects on the open market? So, again, Giants win 10-3 yesterday. Diamondbacks with a now record 23-game road losing streak. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, we got your U.S. Open update and then breaking news. A fairly significant trade just happening on a random Friday in June, and the National Basketball Association will tell it to you after the U.S. Open update coming up next.
The Carmichael Dave Show. Thoughtful, smart, engaging. None of these terms apply here, but he will read your snarky hate text at 916-339-1140.
You know, since Dave's not here, I'm going to make a rule. We're not reading any snarky hate texts today. Only nice, encouraging texts will be read. So
we're not reading,
any texts today. But you can still send them, 916-339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. That is your phone line if you want to get in. Jay Mars, Matt George sitting in for Carmichael Dave. It is time for a U.S. Open update. Of course, our U.S. Open coverage is presented by Frank Cockrell Retirement Security Centers. Birdie your financial future at Frank on the Radio at rscenters.com and by Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it is all about choices and always about quality. All right, day one yesterday in the U.S. Open from Torrey Pines. Phil Mickelson playing his home course, fresh off a PGA Championship win.
Just 6 feet for birdie. A tip to the cap, and I think you know that birdie went down, and a thumbs up from Phil Mickelson, his first birdie for the 2021 U.S. Open. Phil Mickelson, 2 over par now, and he's headed to the par 5 18.
And Phil would finish 4 over par, putting him way down
on
the leaderboard.
Phil.
Phil's going to have to get it together.
Even golf?
I've heard he golfs. I can report that as fact.
4 over par. Even I could do that in one hole.
Early on, though, it was the Brooks Koepka show.
Brooks Koepka, a great look at birdie and 4 under par. Wipes the face of that putter, strokes that ball. Rolling up to the cup, hold your line. It did. Right over the front door. Brooks Koepka, 4 under par.
Who was that?
Not Brooks Koepka.
No, not the golfer. Who is that broadcaster? Because I appreciate him. That is the most hype golf, like, putt call I've ever heard, and I'm here for it. It's on the line. It's perfect. It's in the hole. Like,
Brooks strokes the ball. It's online. It's good. Can we have
Mike Breen call one golf?
Dude, Mike Breen would be amazing.
Bryson DeChambeau, 375 down the center of the fairway. Bang!
I would rather hear Breen call, like, a birdie on 18 to win a tournament versus, like, a game-winning three. So, and I mean that in the nicest way to Mike Breen, who is awesome. I just think, to your point, Mike Breen calling a putt like that would be amazing.
Before we get back to the U.S. Open update, 5-10 years ago, this would have been absurd to say, but since broadcast companies and companies are willing to try different things like players only and stuff like that, I think we need to have, I mean, there's some national broadcasters that can do multiple sports. I think we need to have different broadcasters from different sports branch into other sports for a game only. Like, it would be so fun to hear, like, Greg Papa, who's done, I think he's done basketball stuff before, but it would be so fun to hear Greg Papa do, like, golf or soccer. Or how fun would it be to have Gary Gerald, who knows how to do racing, do a baseball game?
Like, G-Man would kill a baseball game.
He just tells stories.
I'm not sure how Papa would do with golf.
Give me Ken Korak.
Korak would be great at either.
Doing an MMA fight. I would love it.
No.
I would love it.
Would you love Ken Korak calling golf for, I don't know, the number one guy on the leaderboard, Russell Henley?
Putter down behind the ball, strokes it to the hole, and it's in. Russell Henley posts 4 under par and leads the U.S. Open all by himself here in the midway mark of the first day.
Either nobody was around that green or nobody cares about Russ.
Well, I think to your point.
He sunk the putt, crickets.
I'm going to say it's the latter. I don't mean that in any sort of offense to Russell Henley, who is tied for first currently in the U.S. Open standings. Dare I say, Matt, I do not believe that will be holding up through Sunday.
I still struggle with how many professional athletes are now way older than me, but the amount of young talent in the U.S. Open that is younger than me, that's incredible. Like, I know I'm garbage at golf, but just like, hey, and there's a 25-year-old who just barely missed a hole in one.
Have you been playing golf for like 2 days?
A year. And I'm not saying better than, like, I'm just saying it's fun and also annoying to see like players fresh out of college who are playing in one of the biggest majors in the PGA, and they get pissed off when they miss a birdie putt by a centimeter when it's a 70-foot putt.
20-year-old basketball player gets mad if they miss a free throw. It's just a thing when you're good at
something. No, I know. And that pisses me off, too. Like, 18, 19-year-olds becoming millionaires, and here I am.
More on the U.S. Open today. However, it's Friday. It's the NBA. It's in the 6 o'clock hour in the morning. So, hey, why not just have a trade, right?
The NBA demands all your attention all the time. And if the NBA doesn't have your attention, they will get your attention. And if you still don't want to give it, Adam Silver will show up at your door.
By the way, this is not just some like random trade. I wasn't teasing. This is actually a fairly significant trade, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. The Boston Celtics are trading Kemba Walker, the number 16 overall pick in this year's draft, and a 2025 second-round draft pick to Oklahoma City for Al Horford, Moses Brown, and a 2023 second-round pick. Also, according to Wojnarowski, this will give Boston the financial flexibility they were looking for, moving off of the $73 million owed to Kemba Walker with the return of Al Horford. OKC has 3 first-round picks in July. The Thunder are likely to work with Kemba Walker on a different destination, a la the same way they worked with CP3 on a different destination last offseason. Your thoughts?
Poor Kemba. I like Kemba.
Kemba's got $73 million coming his way. He's good.
I feel bad for Kemba. Because a few years ago, we were talking about Kemba. Not the same way we talk about Damian Lillard, but Kemba was up there as, like, exciting, fun, scoring point guard. Mm-hmm. And poor guy just... I thought when he initially was acquired by Boston, I thought it was going to work pretty well.
I thought it worked really well last year when he was healthy. I thought he was the perfect antidote for that team. Not antidote, excuse me. Remedy for all the issues they had with Kyrie Irving. I've always been a big... I loved Kemba back when he was at UConn. And I thought he was a great fit for them last year. I mean, he was a part of a team that got to the conference finals. They were damn near an NBA finals team. And then you just saw those knees this year just could not hold up. In and out of the lineup. And I think kind of to the point you were making, I think we've seen the better days of Kemba Walker are behind us.
Celtics fans will be happy because they get Al Horford back, but I love how part of this trade is like, hey, the Boston Celtics now have some financial flexibility. Have you seen Al Horford's contract?
But the thing with Al Horford's contract is there's 2 years left on it. It's a declining contract, uh-huh. And then the final year is only guaranteed, I think, of like... of the 20-something million he has, I think like 12 of it's guaranteed.
Right, compared to Kemba money, it is...
significant savings.
They've opened up some space, and good for them, but it's like, when I read like you've opened up salary, I think massive salary dump type trade immediately. It's not really that.
Yeah, no, it's not a salary dump, you're correct. And I think they have definitely missed Al Horford's presence when he signed with Philadelphia 2 seasons ago. Listen, Al Horford's not the same player he used to be. I don't think that really we have to do a deep dive into that. However, I think in the right situation, he's still he's a good contributing player.
Absolutely.
And Boston never found a big to replace him. I mean, he was the anchor of that defense, and that was a really good defense a couple seasons ago. And when you looked at the guys they tried to fill in there, whether it was Daniel Tice, Tristan Thompson, I mean, Robert Williams to me has a lot of potential, and I think he's a guy they're definitely trying to groom, but they never found that replacement, and that was a huge issue. And now you bring him back, obviously not the same guy, but for them, really, they bring back Horford, but God, they had to attach their first-round pick to get off of Kemba. That's rough.
How about Presti getting another first-rounder? He's getting, what, the 16th pick
in
this year's draft, so there's a very good chance, unless the Rockets stay in the top four, I believe, there's a very good chance the OKC will have three first-rounders in this draft, and who knows if they stick or if they try and...
Gives you a lot of flexibility to make some moves, though, doesn't it?
Boy.
Like, if you're not catching what we're getting on with the three first-round picks, so they have Boston's pick number 16. They have their own pick, and then they can... It's so convoluted, but put it this way. Here's the easy way to look at it. If Houston's pick falls out of the top four, as you said, that pick goes to OKC. Let's just say Houston's pick falls to five, right?
1 and 5.
And let's say OKC moves up to one. They could potentially have, in a top five heavy draft, they could potentially have two top five picks.
That's like Cade and, what, Kuminga?
Could be Kuminga. I mean, I don't know how high teams are on Evan Mobley.
I think it's Kuminga.
I like Jalen Suggs a lot. But
I think Suggs is two, number two.
I do too. I don't think he would fall to them at five. But again, they have some flexibility to make some moves there. So again, breaking news out of the NBA, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, the Boston Celtics have sent Kemba Walker, their 2016 first round pick, a second round pick in exchange for Al Horford and a second round pick. Do not expect Kemba Walker to remain in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, real quick, where, like, pick fantasy destination. Forget how he's getting there. Pick fantasy destination, a good, solid landing point for Kemba. Because he's overpaid for sure. Mm-hmm. He's not probably going to ever get back to what he was. But just think a landing destination for him that could work right away.
Miami?
Miami's interesting. I kind of was thinking, I might have to think about this more, but, like, the Knicks, maybe?
Yeah, the Knicks will have... Listen, the Knicks have the money. They have the money freed up, or if they just wanted to trade for him straight up, they could. I just... The way they've built that team, I just think that would be a really poor decision on their part.
I agree, but that feels like a New York move, does it not? I don't know how well he'd fit with Thibs, but...
It feels like a New York move pre-Leon Rose, but we've only seen Leon Rose for one season, and what he's done in New York so far is so good. We don't know. That could definitely be a move that they look at. I think it'd be the wrong move.
Smell that? Smells like New Orleans.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine? Zion needs more people around him.
Speaking of New
Orleans. Here's Kemba Walker.
Speaking of New Orleans, coming up next.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
Rick Carlisle has resigned as head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. We'll talk about that, plus the influence of guys like Luka Doncic and Zion Williamson, who aren't even off of their rookie contracts, and what it means for their franchises. Coming up next.
Kemba in Dallas!
Same Carmichael Dave time, same Carmichael Dave channel, but... A new text line number at 916-339-1140. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
Live. Hi, it's off the KCK Studios.
It's Jay and Matt in the morning.
Jay, Matt O'Brien. Jay, God, who else was on that broadcast? You don't know this music. I know you
Yeah,
don't.
CBS.
It's because it says it on the damn
No, thing. I remember this from a long time ago. I remember it. I do remember it.
You remember it?
I remember it because my mom used to watch CBS programming all the time when
this
I was a kid.
This is NBA on CBS, which ceased to exist after 1989.
Yeah.
1990.
I remember this.
You're just so like, full of...
No, you. I remember this. I remember like the NBA on NBC theme.
That makes sense. You at least were alive for that.
I was alive.
You were not alive for this.
You said 98.
I said 90.
Oh.
89, 90.
Oh.
Yeah. Cool, bro. You just lied on a 50,000-watt radio station.
Oh, no, you know why I remember this? Because Dave and I had a conversation about this the last time I was on with him. That's why I remember it.
Yeah, this is, like, low-key the greatest, like, sports intro of all time music. Personally, I'm a Round Ball Rock fan for NBA on NBC, but this is a close second. Why are you fading it? It's not done. Now it's done. Anyways. Good times. NBA on CBS. Hey, you know who's alive?
I didn't mean to lie.
No, it's cool,
I genuinely
bro.
Got it confused.
Right. Totally cool. Nice save.
I bench 450 pounds. That's a lie. And I meant that.
If you were to tell me you benched 50 pounds, I'd call it a lie.
I can't pick up the bench.
Can't pick up the barbell. Anyways, hey, you know who used to actually play in the NBA when that theme song was a thing?
Who?
Rick Carlisle.
Jason Ross? Ooh.
No, there wasn't TV when Jason played in the NBA.
Got him. Zing. You're old.
Yeah.
Good morning, Jason. You're
Hi,
old.
Hi, Jason. Good morning. Rick Carlisle, out in Dallas. Not that they fired him. He said, yeah, I'm good. He saw everything that's been going down. We've been talking about this story all week. Sam Amick and Tim Cato from The Athletic setting blaze in the city of Dallas. So, Donnie Nelson, their GM for 24 years? I don't know if he's in that role for 24 years, but he's been in the organization for 24 years. Out.
And Carlisle was, what, 13 seasons? I think he was 13.
13. I think you're correct. I think that is
number eight. For context, and this is actually kind of bad context, but to put it into like a Sacramento perspective, that's like if Rick Adelman just said, done. Like Weber, and Weber was still on the team, and Adelman said.
Let's not forget, Rick Carlisle led them to their only NBA title in 2011.
With Dirk.
Dirk and 55-year-old Jason Kidd, 97-year-old Jason Terry. 104-year-old Tyson Chandler was on that team. They were an older team.
That's rude.
But got it done. Anyways, Rick Carlisle, amidst all of the drama in Dallas, has said deuces. They will be conducting a new head coaching search. Now, here's my question for you.
Just crazy.
Who in the Mavericks organization is going to have the most say when it comes to who the next head coach is?
It should be Luka, even though I don't think...
Really?
I don't want it to be Luka. I mean, but until Mark Cuban is no longer Mark Cuban, it's going to be Mark Cuban.
Yeah, but I feel like Mark Cuban is going to listen to somebody. He clearly... God, the gambler's name. Is it Vulgaris? How do you... I can't pronounce his last name.
No, he is known as the gambler.
Yeah, we'll just call him the gambler Bob, who has basically been the shadow GM of that team now for, it feels like, three seasons.
The gambler only.
And has basically, and here's the thing, they're not going to give him the front office title. I think he definitely likes being that guy in the shadows, really calling the shots behind the scenes. I forgot who I read yesterday, but they're saying Michael Finley, who, of course, was a legend with the Dallas Mavericks, been in the front office now for a little bit, likely to get that GM title. But... at the end of the day, this team is ran. It's like there's been things going on. We can't figure out why they can't put a competent team around Luka Doncic. And now all of those reasons why are starting to rear their ugly heads. This is an organization that has had a lot of issues off the court. From the things that they went through when it came to the sexual harassment stuff to now you see the basketball operations side has been in complete shambles. This organization has ran really bad, dude. Like, really bad. And I know Luka Doncic is going to sign that $200 million Supermax because who the hell wouldn't at his age coming off of, what, his third season? He ain't going to make it, that whole contract.
Yeah. So, this is a... We hear the sports cliche, right? Winning solves everything and winning cures everything. And it does carry water. I mean, look what's happened to the Phoenix Suns, right? The Suns were a laughing stock a couple of years ago. They're from front office to ownership.
For 10 years,
everybody was ripping them to shreds. Same thing with the New York Knicks to some extent. We're talking so much about Dolan. Now the Knicks are a darling in some way, shape, or form, and we're not talking about Dolan anymore. So there is water to that cliche. But at the same time, too, the Dallas Mavericks have one of the best players in the league already. They have contractual control over him. He's, what, 3 years in? I mean, Luka Doncic is phenomenal and is well on his way to a Hall of Fame type career. And this team has made the playoffs even though they've been first round exits. And all this stuff is coming out, which is why I'm concerned with how not just the Sacramento Kings, although the Kings have been guilty with this, I'm concerned about how front offices are run today and how much power that advisors have. And advisor is a word that we've unfortunately used too many times when it comes to the current ownership group here in Sacramento. And it's an advisor who has overstepped his boundaries but has the support and the ear of the owner that has now caused this whirlwind to happen in Dallas. And I really think, like, to some extent, you can't tell an owner and a business person how to run their business just because you're Commissioner Adam Silver. Mm-hmm. But the league needs to look at stuff like this and say, like, let's set a precedent at least or have a conversation about what's good for the league and what's not.
I'm here for the player empowerment movement, but to your point, there needs to be a balance between player power versus team power. And right now, and for a long time, I get it. A lot of it's an overcorrection. For years, it was the team held all the cards. And then players woke up and said, oh, wait, no, we can control some of this too. And now you're seeing this pendulum just swing completely the other way. And it's like, all right, I get the overcorrection on the player and power movement, but it's time to bring things back to the middle and get somewhere that is not just beneficial for players, not beneficial for the franchises, but at the end of the day, that's beneficial for the fans.
Well, see, I don't think anybody's in a great spot right now. The close to the best is the players based off of the power that they have, sure. And in a way, rightfully so. But you look at coaches. Coaches have never been less important. And coaches are just the proverbial fall guy.
Don't ask Sacramento Kings fans.
It's just the reality. Coaches have never been less important. And then you look at front office. Front offices and established basketball minds are now being undermined on a daily basis by either former established basketball minds or guys who happen to be good at sports gambling, yeah, or guys who are friends of the owner or sons or daughters of the owner.
It's not just that. Like, think about a guy like Zion. We were talking about that. We were talking about Luka and the influence he has in Dallas. Zion is 2 years in, hasn't been to the playoff, has one all-star appearance, and now him and his family don't feel the Pelicans have put a team around him.
Right.
They don't feel they've done enough in 2 years to get Zion. It's like, dude, you're like 21.
Yeah.
Chill.
I mean, everybody has an opinion, and it's I would be so frustrated if I was a New Orleans Pelicans fan for multiple reasons. But, I mean, already, since the beginning of this season, Pelicans fans have heard, where's Zion going to go?
Yeah, once, I mean, dude, they heard that before he was drafted.
Right, it's just...
It's silly, and it needs to be corrected. There needs to be a correction on this whole thing. We need to get back to a better balance. Again, more on this later. We will take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next,
Soundgarden. Earlier in the week, Le'Veon Bell trashed his former head coach Andy Reid on Instagram. Did Andy Reid do the same? We'll hear from Andy. Luka Doncic, speaking of the devil, apparently Donnie Nelson's firing hit him in the feels. That and Giannis Antetokounmpo. He thinks the Bucks are built to beat the Nets in Game 7. We'll do Soundgarden when we come back.